So in this description of the three states, gross, subtle, and causal,
right,
we've talked about subtle as kind of this catch-all.
Yeah.
Everything that's not either gross or causal, we're going to call subtle.
Yeah.
Is it important to make some more distinctions?
Yes, and when the traditions do that, they use levels. And just almost exactly the way we've described many of them. So what that means is you have three little, I was going to say three little entities, and briefly, their states go with energies, as we were saying. A state of consciousness goes with an energy, gross, subtle, or causal, body, energy. But we're treating those as one. So these three realms, gross, subtle, and causal. Yes, when you break them down, then Vedanta, for example, says there are five stages or levels that go through these three. And those five levels are very similar to matter, body, mind, soul, spirit. But those are now sheaths or koshas around the self. And those represent stages of permanent development. And so what happens when you, and those five stages, we could make seven. We just gave seven stages. We're using a generic seven. That would work. So would more. You can use 10 if you want to use more sophisticated scales of stages or development. But Vedanta uses five, Vedanta Hinduism, and those five levels, roughly matter, body, mind, soul, spirit, what happens is you permanently develop through those levels or stages, is that you then have permanent access to waking dream and deep sleep. So by the time you get in their scheme to level four, you are permanently lucid dreaming. By the time you get to level five, you are permanently in constant consciousness 24 hours a day. So that's how they relate states to stages. Is that clear? So that's how we can get to more, the subtler distinctions, the whole subtle realm. You can break that down into any number of stages and any number of lines, because the gross and causal are just the two end limits of that. So you can break the middle portion down into two levels, five levels, 10 levels, or whatever, depending on the research and depending on what scale you're using. So in the seven chakra system, first chakra is gross, seventh is causal, everything in between is subtle. That's the way they do it, and it's fairly accurate. They do it for a reason, which is that in the dream state, you can experience all those intermediate stages. All of them can appear in a dream. And that's why they are carried in the subtle body. Okay.
Okay. You circulated an essay on subtle energies,
right,
that's going to appear in one of your future books.
Right.
And in it, you talked about how these bodies, the gross, subtle, and causal body, are actually associated with a certain level of development in organisms, humans,
right,
but not necessarily in something like a rock. Like a rock,
right, exactly,
might not have a,
right,
subtle and a causal body.
Right.
Can you help me here?
Yeah. Well, briefly, what that means, and this is a whole fascinating area of energy, subtle energies, causal energies, and what it means. And it's a very, very long topic, but it's coming to the fore because there's a lot of interest in it. And people mostly know subtle energy from things like kundalini or acupuncture points and tai chi and items of that sort. And what I was doing in this one essay on subtle energy that you're talking about is sort of giving a comprehensive overview of all the various theories of subtle energy that the traditions have had, all the way up to modern researchers, and there are an enormous number of modern researchers, scientific researchers, pursuing these subtle energies. I'd start giving a list of them, but there are so many, I don't want to leave out some of them because they're my friends and they'll kill me. They're really mean people. You don't want these horrible people. Anyway, there's a lot of really good research that's being done. And what I was doing in this paper was just pointing out that the traditions generally didn't have a kind of a scientific understanding of the stages of evolution in the organic realm. Atoms, molecules, cells, vegetative plants, reptiles, mammals, and so on. That sort of is a kind of a modern scientific, the paleological, archaeological record is sort of a modern discovery. But that you can actually look at the evolutionary tree in individual organisms, and this would be the upper right quadrant, the objective it organism. And what you find is that evolution is marked by increasing levels of complexity of form. So from atoms to molecules to cells to organisms, it gets more complex, it differentiates and integrates. And each of those sort of major unfolding biological stages or levels of evolution, you can actually see the points where these subtler energies emerge because they're associated with different types of life functioning. So the simplest, a lot of the traditions subdivide these subtle energies into things like physical energies, which are gravitational, electromagnetic, strong and weak nuclear. Those are physical gross energies. And then subtle energies are broken down again into several sort of bands or sub-bands, including etheric, astral, thought, psychic, and causal. And all of those actually emerge along the evolutionary scale. So etheric energies emerge whenever a life form first emerged, and that would be the first cells that emerged out of molecules. And then astral energy, which actually means emotional sexual energy, started to emerge whenever there was indeed a kind of a reptilian brainstem, and certainly a limbic system. And so even horses have these three different energy fields of gross, etheric, and astral. By the time you get a neocortex, you're getting a thought field. So even chimpanzees and great apes have a T field or a thought field in addition to these other three fields. And then you have sort of the holosynchronous, realized sage type person, then you get this sort of causal field emerging. So you can sort of tie these subtler levels of energy in with modern scientific evolution and research.
Okay, so more more about this scale of biological development, because this is very interesting to me. In my circle of friends, there's a lot of discussion about, is a whale or a dolphin as evolved or more evolved than a human? So what would your scale here of subtle energies have to tell us about that?
Well, and also developmental lines, they're much more developed in kinesthetic lines, and several of those. I mean, the sensory sensitivity is astonishing. In terms of subtle energy, there's almost certainly a play of that. The dolphins, in particular, have a type of triune brain structure. So they're also producing, we would assume, T fields or thought fields, which is the, I think, fourth of the general fields that I was giving as an example of energy fields. And that's really quite extraordinary, actually. And I think a whole lot of the stories of human-dolphin interaction come from just that. The interaction is actually being carried on a T field, a thought field. It's not just an emotional connection. It's a very, very high connection. And in some aspects of that, dolphins could be as advanced or more advanced, certainly more advanced than many of my friends, but they could just in general be that. Yeah.
Because I guess what you're saying is that the more subtle energy that a being emits, the more evolved that being is. Is that fair right there?
In a sense. And here again is where states and stages come into play. Everybody has access to waking, dream, and deep sleep states. Therefore, every human being from birth has a gross energy field, a subtle energy field, and a causal energy field. Now, as they develop, however, and become more and more conscious, psychics will tell you this as well, their energy fields actually kind of light up more. They become more luminous, more intense, more radiant. It's that kind of phenomena that occurs. So it's not that only enlightened people have this, or only highly developed people have this. These general energy fields are present even in infants, fetuses, infants, and so on. And as I said, in great apes and chimpanzees, all the way up to a T field is present. But the more you grow and develop in terms of consciousness, then the more vibrant and radiant these fields become. And some people, of course, psychics in particular, tend to kind of specialize in certain of these energy fields. Some psychics can't really explain what they're doing, but some of them have psychokinetic powers, some of them have telepathic powers, some of them are very good at sort of reading people in very subtle energy ways. And a lot of them are pre-rational and maybe a little bit fraudulent. But some of them, I think we all would agree, are, you know, transrational and really very authentic. And they're often kind of a mixture in their own being. But they can really plug into some of these very subtle energy currents and kind of ride them in certain ways. So that's sort of a thumbnail sketch of it. But the energies themselves are very, really kind of fascinating. And I think they're going to be part of tomorrow's economy. That's what we were talking about. And then that's what I think is going to start coming into play. And then, you know, so stay tuned.